Well, we begin this evening back into our teaching in Ephesians, and we're going to be looking at chapter 6. We finished the last time we met together, we looked at, we'd finished chapter 5, and you can see from, like, especially looking at chapter 5 and that entire chapter, it really deals with how we live, what we do. And it finished off where we were looking at the relationship really between the husband and the wife. Is the foundation of really everything that God does starts with the family and people really getting a hold of people to get that in their minds. It's lots of times in the areas of ministry and people thinking about doing something for God, the first thing you think about is doing something for somebody else, but really the first thing start is with the home and starting inside the conduct in the home. Because if you look at Paul's letters to Timothy and also to Titus, dealing with people working in a church where there's a ministry, where somebody would, they called a bishop, really is an overseer in a church, or a deacon, it's interesting because they're not measured by their spirituality, whether they're worthy for the job. They're measured by their conduct with their family and also with people on the outside. So it's those are the things that God's looking at. And really, from church-wise, I've watched it over the years where people just, and a lot of people in ministry, they look at their ministry as to whether it's the so-called calling to do, but they don't ever see their real calling. And they're out here about ministering to people while their family's neglected and they don't do things and the family gets messed up. And that's a huge, terrible thing to end up into. It's to me, I just could not see any sense it would be to follow the ministry and go on doing all of that and lose your family. I mean, it just don't... It's amazing, especially over the last number of years here, how many ministers end up in divorce and stuff and things. I mean, it's just, you know, it's astronomical how many of them do and the stuff that happens and goes on. So, but looking still at the family, now we start out, we call chapter 6, but really this is a letter written, and actually it wouldn't, if we were reading this just as a letter written, it wouldn't be opening a new chapter. Because it's still dealing on the same subject. It deals with, we're going to look at the things with the family and the children, but also with work ethics and what we do at work. So this is really important because it's still in line with the same subject. It deals with our conduct. It starts off in chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise." So, it tells children that they're supposed to obey. You'll see here that obedience is not submission. Submission really requires, from the standpoint of knowledge, a person understanding things to do. Obedience doesn't. Teaching children to obey is really a huge thing. Loads of times I see, this is what we have psychology today, and the psychology of schools and stuff, or they take little children that... hardly know a thing, and they're trying to explain everything to them. They're trying to tell them all kind of stuff, which really is in the family. As adults are making decisions, and your children, you need to teach your children to obey you, that you cannot, there's loads of stuff they're not going to understand that you're going to try to explain to them why you do what you do. They must learn to obey you. If they don't, it's going to be a huge problem as they grow up, because as we find out, it's why Paul makes this statement and uses this commandment, because in the next verse, in verse 3, says that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You know, one thing you should teach your children is they can shorten their life. Disobedience leads to shorter lives, shorter time living in the earth. So we need to own this. You know, this is why people say, well, you know, God knows your days. Yes, God knows your days, but He don't set them. We set our days. He said He'll satisfy us with long life, show us His salvation, but He'll satisfy us. But it's one thing, if it is, you can do things that shorten your life. A lot of people don't look at the fact that we have as people, if children, especially growing up, and when they're little, there's one thing about it, you know, it is much harder as they get older to try to teach obedience if they aren't taught when they're small. Because most of the time, you're probably not going to do it very well once they get older. You don't wait till they're 15 to try to get them to obey. If they haven't been taught that beforehand, it's going to be a huge problem trying to deal with them from then on out, because you set a pattern. Scriptures tell us you train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's older, he'll not depart from it. So if you don't teach them when they're a child, there's a good chance they won't be departing from it. They have never been in it, so they will be a problem. They're not going to follow God. It is harder for the longer time that a person goes. Things don't improve. Children do much better when they're taught when they're young than they do waiting until they're older. Children, understand this. There's no way, if the parent is the authority in the home. Children, from a standpoint, we can teach children things about God. They can have a certain sensitivity to it, but really, the parent is the authority to them in the home. And if they don't see the parent as authority, they probably never will do much of respecting God's authority. They won't probably do that, because it's the pattern is followed with the people that are in charge of them when they're little. And so teaching them is just a thing that needs to be done. When it's getting over in the areas, when especially dealing in these, if a child disobeys, they need to be punished. There needs to be punishment. Letting children go. See, that's one of the worst things is when you have, people will tell a child 20 times about something. And then you want to go to punishment. There's one thing, just forget it. You just defeated the whole purpose of punishment, because they're going to know. It's other things. Children figure, I know I can do this again, because they're just going to yell again. That's what they're going to do. They're just going to yell again. So I can do it again. And I know I can do it a number of times before they really get bad. So I can do it. And you start to teach that. That's all part of teaching is in especially the training that goes on is teaching children. There's things that lines that they don't cross and things that they're not supposed to do. If children who are allowed to be disobedient to their parents without punishment will grow up disobeying God. And the blessing of God won't be on their life. It's one of the things that people really in this. I think generally today Christians don't look at the long term from the standpoint. They have the idea that, well, if my child's 15, 16 and he dies, he'll go to heaven. Maybe not. If he hasn't followed Christ and walked with Christ, they may not. Kenneth E. Hagin was 15 years old when he died and he went to hell. And so we need to understand this is coming today. There's this whole fantasy world that is lived in of Christianity, and it's a real fantasy world. It's number one. I didn't want my children. We want our children to accept Christ early. But the parents have more to say to do that than anything. Is the parents, and especially from the standpoint of walking with God. Teaching the right things to children. And it's one thing, and this is the whole thing with from parenting standpoint, is one thing as a parent needs to understand is it needs to know the Word of God to be able to raise a child properly. They need to know the Word, because number one, if you're going to deal with your children from the standpoint of punishment and dealing with them, you need to know the Word of God yourself. You need to be able to convey it to them. Most people today, they're waiting basically for the church to take care of that. The greatest influence is you, not the church. It's just like the schools. The schools thought they were going to get away with this thing of, we're going to take over the things of taking care of the kids. Kids grow up like their parents. They might be in school all day, but they go home to a bad household. They end up being like the household. And so we need to understand that a parent has a huge influence on their children, is taking that responsibility. And we wanted our children to grow up and have good lives. We didn't want our kids growing up And so we put a huge amount of effort in that fact of raising our kids and making sure they were raised right. We made sure we knew the God. They heard the word of God from us. They heard things about, they saw, you know, it's just like my daughters, after they were married and stuff going along, and my daughter Alyssa said that, you know, her and Elena were talking one day, and they said there's one thing that we both agreed on. She said, Elena and I, was the fact is, they said, you lived what you preached. You lived it in front of us. We didn't preach something else. They saw it in the home. And that's what really is makes an influence. And a lot of people don't realize the great influence that they have on their children. They don't realize, I see many times that parents are doing things that are all messed up, and they're somehow thinking, well, the kids don't listen to us. No, they're going to follow your pattern. You can talk all you want. But if you're doing the wrong things, they're going to follow that. And what you want to have is your talk and your pattern the same. You want to have it the same way. And they see those things. And number one is, especially for us Christians, you have to teach your children and let them experience the blessing of God. They got to see it. You know, you can tell them God's good all you want, but they don't ever see no good in it. You know, you can tell them God heals, but if you can't ever minister healing to your kids and let them see what healing is, well, what are they going to go? They're going to follow the direction they think's the best. No matter how you talk to them about things, they need to see it. Our kids grew up in a home where they saw the healing power of God. They saw those things, and you know, and the influence it brought into their lives. And that's what you want to do, because, you know, is train a child in the way he should go. When he gets older, they don't depart from it. And you know, like with our kids have stayed in the line of Christianity. They haven't gone off to other stuff. And we haven't tried to make them, you know, do what, we can't do that anymore. Well, what did it? We set the pattern when they were young, when they were just kids. We set that pattern in them, and now that they're older, the Bible, the Word's true. So you set the pattern in them when you're little, when they're little, and follow that. Now, people come in the kingdom sometimes, and their kids are older when they come in the kingdom and things like that. Praise God, you got to rely on the grace of God as much as you can and, you know, deal with things. But it is when you're dealing with young children and starting off, man, that is the things. I mean, you don't, our grandkids. I mean, as much as I love our grandkids and that stuff, I'm going to walk in concerning the line of word with them, and I'm not going to let them get away with things just because, you know. I heard these people say, well, you know, we don't have to, we could just send them home. I heard people say that and laugh. If I had kids and I had grandparents who would talk like that, they'd probably never see the kids. That'd be the it on that number. See, I don't want some heathens. Well, just that we can let them do what they want and then just send them home. Say, well, you ain't going to see them again. So one thing is you respect other people's, you know, traditions. Is this the same way? It's like whether it's a listen award with Braden. They have certain things, and if they set they certain things they don't want Braden to do or something like that, he doesn't do that with us. I don't say, well, he's with Grandpa, you know, they'll never know. I don't undermine, because I'll tell you what, you'll end up cursed if you do. You'll end up cursed. Don't do that stuff. Don't ever get over into that thing, because you're shortening your life. The Bible says if anybody does anything to a child, the best thing that happened would be a millstone tied around her neck and thrown in the ocean. Jesus made that statement. You don't mess with the things with kids and their spirituality and things and teaching them to obey. There's one thing, it's just like with Braden. Braden knows if he doesn't listen to his parents about something, he knows his grandpa don't like that at all. He knows that. That's straight out the line. I've talked to Braden about that. I said, when you disobey your mom and dad, it's the same as you disobeyed me. He knows that. I want him to understand. He doesn't have a place to go to get away with it. And you have to deal with these things because, number one, I don't want him growing up like a heathen. As he gets older, he'll follow God because we'll set the pattern in him. And those are the things that you have to do. It sounds like it's stern, but the whole thing is dealing with a child. You know, I mean, today, they're 30 years old and they're still big babies and they still don't listen and that kind of stuff. And the reason that happens is because they haven't been trained when they were young and the responsibility that they have. As nobody ever told them, you know what, you're not going to live a long life if you keep this up. So some people wonder why some people die young. It's why they die young. Because they don't learn to obey. They open the door of the devil and the devil kills them. And they say, well, why? I don't understand. Well, if they'd read the Bible, it already explained it to us. In fact, our kids, how old were our kids in Oklahoma? What, Lissa was what? Was she sixth grade? Fifth grade. Sixth grade. So Elena was about, what? Second. And God had me use these scriptures on them specifically because of their disobedience. We kept telling them they'd fight with each other and all the time bickering. And the Lord had me use those scriptures on them about disobedience. You see, most parents today, oh, we don't do that kind of, oh, we'll hurt their little psyche and let them grow up like little hellions and then wonder why things are a mess. You know what? They need to have a fear of some things if they don't. You know, if you wouldn't teach a child to stay away from a hot stove, you're an idiot. Well, if you don't teach your child to obey, you're as bad as the guy that wouldn't tell him about the hot stove. Because it's shortened their life. See, we don't take the church today don't take any of this stuff serious. It's not serious. But yet it's affecting people's lives. We're told here, this is the first commandment with a promise. And the promise is this, if you don't obey, you don't live a long time, and it can extend your life if you do it. God said that's a promise. Do you think he'd carry it out? The church doesn't seem to believe that today. You know, this is all just stuff written in a book. No, it's true. It's true. And so, one of the things we do is we want our children blessed. We want them blessed. And, you know, when God gave Israel this promise and this commandment, Deuteronomy 5:16, he said, honor father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So we look here in this promise. He said, you live long, but also that your days be well. Today, we've learned how to extend life, but people are not living well. People are living sickly. They're living, going for years, feeling bad all the time. You know, huge counts of medications they got to take, and they're always, you know, got problems. Well, I don't want, this is a promise here. In other words, it affects your life from the beginning. See, a lot of people think, well, you know, I made a mistake at the end. You make mistakes in the beginning will affect you at the end if you never repent and turn from this stuff. And sad because we do have a society today that's very rebellious. Very rebellious society. So things won't turn out well. He goes on to say in verse 4, he said, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, said, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now they say like in the Greek, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but this word could also be translated parents. Here they use it fathers, but could be translated parents. So it's dealing really from both sides. To provoke means to don't aggravate your children. And aggravate means to this, to make worse, more serious, or more severe, intensify unpleasantly. It says, in other words, taking something and really, and I've seen people do this, you know, you get into extreme, a person gets into extreme punishment, they get into, they carry, you know, they take something that's a little thing and they make a huge thing out of it. And there's one thing is you have to do is deal with children looking at the age that they are, you know, and what you expect them to know. You know, you couldn't take a 12-year-old and a 3-year-old and on things and put it in the same class. You have to learn to understand why a child does what they do. You don't expect as they get older, you should expect more out of them. That's strange, but today they don't. Many times they don't expect anything, and you're doing that. So in other words, it's carrying something to an extreme. In other words, you can go overboard with things of what you're trying to deal with. So, but it says bring them up under the training, and really that means just the discipline and admonition or the instruction of the Lord. So bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. That's what you bring them up under. You know. Take your children the word and why you punish them, why you're doing, you know, something, and let them know. Is when we let them know that they're disobeying God, is one of the things that is the scriptures tell us that the law is the schoolmaster that brings it brings us to Christ, you need to know that that works in children also. If you show them what the Word says they're not supposed to do, when they do it, they'll be under conviction. That's what you want them to happen. You want them to come to the knowledge that they're doing wrong. You don't want them to stay in the place where they think it's okay. You want them to come to the place where they know that they're doing wrong. So when we teach them what the Word says and God says what displeases Him or doesn't like Him or what He expects from them so He can bless them, that's what you want to let them know. What brings blessing, but what takes blessing away. And you let them know. It isn't a matter, as we had to teach our children, it wasn't a matter if they were away from us and we didn't see what goes on. They learned. God knows what goes on. So, and they need to know that. God becomes real to them. You're not being mean to them or trying to put some kind of, you know, weird fear on them, but they have to have a respect that this God we talk about is really God. He knows everything and He sees everything. You know, as our just like with me, I just always expected that the Lord would show me what was going on, and our kids knew that the fact that God would show me, even when they weren't around me, I knew things that were going on. And you have to, you got to learn to walk in the light of that. You got to listen to your own spirit. See, if Christians aren't spiritual, you can't raise children well if you're not spiritual. You got to be spiritual. You got to be in contact with your spirit, not your emotions over your kids. Because you cannot raise them right over your emotions. You know, it's like I see people do this all the time. Somebody else's kid does something and they're mad. Their kids do the same thing and they got all kind of excuses when their kid does it. But they would sure want something done with somebody else's kids. So one thing is, our kids grew up, there wasn't a difference when it come down to those kind of things, whether the neighbor kid did it or they did it. It was the same. And so they didn't have parents that turn around and gave them, you know, a cut or break and then complain about what the neighbor did. See, we were in a church, and when I was in the youth ministry, and the pastor, he was always complaining about everybody else's kid, and his kid was the worst one in the church. And I called him and his wife aside one day and told them about it. Oh, well, they just fell apart. They just didn't know what to do. They just, you know. And I told him, I said, the worst kid we got in the church is your kid. When it caused the most problems. And you're always complaining about other people's kids. And I told them, they don't straighten him out, I'm leaving the youth ministry, because I said, all the youth know about it and they can't stand it. And they look at you as a hypocrite. And I said, they're right. Your kid gets away with all kinds of stuff and you complain about other people's kids. And so you got to do things right and walk things right. Your children need to grow up and know that they aren't faith. Just because they're fed, they get away with stuff. Because other people will be watching, other kids will be watching, and you know what? They won't have no respect for you whatsoever. They won't have any respect. I found that out just, you know, dealing when I was at Lebanon County Prison, because as the one guy had said to me, and he sure knew about being in prison, he had been in and out so many times in his life, him and his brother, and they were going up to do another state stretch, and he came to me and he said, I want to thank you for something. And I knew he was never crazy about me and liked me because I followed the rules and I placed with everybody exactly the same way. But he said to me, I just want to thank you because he said, I'm in the prison system. And he said, you don't see this, but he said, you treated everybody the same. He said, I've never seen that before. He said, you didn't have your favorites and you treated everybody the same. I thought, man, that's a wonderful compliment coming from him. He said he had never seen that place in jail. People to have their favorites. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't play your favorite. You know, something's wrong, you deal with it. Somebody's right, no matter who they are, you reward them. I don't care if you don't like them. If they did what was right, you reward them. It's just, it isn't a matter of that. And you have to learn to walk that way. And I'm going to tell you what, if your children see that, and see that you turn around and you're not different, it makes a huge mark in their life. They see. Because why is we want to be like God. God changes not. That's the big thing. We want to come where people see that we're not somebody that changes to whomever our favorite is or whatever it is. That we're it. They want to see that. That's the way God is. God don't have favorites. He don't have favorites. The word stands for all of us. To me, I like that. It isn't for a special group. It isn't for a I can have the blessing just like anybody else. I can go mess up and repent and get turned around and be blessed by God because of the rules that He set. He doesn't have certain groups or certain people that get to be the blessed ones because they, you know, He likes them a whole lot better. So He's teaching that because, see, when they learn that, see, then the children will learn the things that if God doesn't, they'll go and, if they mess up, they'll go repent to God quickly. They'll get and they'll turn around, and that's what you want them to do. You want them walking in blessing. You want them to keep on thinking it's okay to do wrong, because there's one thing about life. You know, I lived a life out here and doing wrong, and you know, I didn't do less wrong as I went along. The more I thought I got away with, the more wrong I did. And so you don't want to go there. So don't do that. So correction and discipline, we want to do that. But you know, as one thing is do is tell a child, you know, if they disobeyed or they did something, tell them what they did, what they broke or what they did wrong. Is let them know why you're disciplining for what you're doing. Is telling them that. And you know, it's one of the things that, and it helps them come to the place that they know what's wrong. It's one of the things the Bible tells us, whether I know today, they don't believe in spanking kids or paddling them and all that kind of stuff. But you're either going to obey the Word of God, or you're going to obey the world, and don't complain if your kids end up all messed up because you follow the world's pattern. Don't blame them. The Bible's specific on the subject and tells us. You know, as we've used these scriptures before, as Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares his rod hates his son. That's what the Bible says. That's God's opinion on the subject. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Says early. He don't let it go. So you gotta learn to do that, not let things go. If you let something go, next time it'll be worse. Then that's when you need a good whooping for causing it. Well, it is. So, you know, I hate to see children get punished because parents don't deal with stuff, and then they get so mad and aggravated because it keeps going on, and then they turn around and they're so mad at the kids. To me, the parent needs punished. The parent's the one that needs punished. What's a child supposed to think? The child's been trained, taught to do what he does because they don't bring it to a halt. They don't deal with it, and you don't want to go there. So, you know, Bob Yandian said this, and he said, don't wait till they get 4 or 5 years old and out of control, then trying to do it. That's hard. That's tough to do. That's really hard when we turn around and do that. It is. It's always best. It's like I said, sometimes, you know, people come in the kingdom and they haven't been taught or anything like that, and they have children, they've grown up, and praise God. I mean, we can trust in, you know, God and put our faith in His grace to deal with things, but when they're young, is dealing with these things. The Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. You know, it's one thing I've learned about children is pain on their butt keeps them lots of times from doing things again because they will get pain on their butt again. Be consistent. If you whooped them for it one time and they do it again and you don't whip them, you caused a problem. Be consistent with it. And I'm not talking about beating a child, or, you know, but I'll tell you what, let them know that, and it's one thing is with pain, it's one thing is, you know, we deal today with the things like in prisons. I just saw, I forget, what prison system? I don't know if it was in California or one of them. They're just completely going away from rehabilitation because it said it's done no good. Well, I can tell them why. There's no punishment. Rehabilitation isn't keep talking to somebody. If they get out of line, there's one thing as I found out working in the prison system is these guys don't like punishment. If it comes down to them getting hurt, loads of them, boy, they don't want to be hurt. We should bring back corporal punishment. You don't bring that stuff back, you forget it. You ain't going to rehabilitate. If a person can go ahead and commit a crime, I mean, just think, we people commit murder today and they're never put to death and they're put into a prison and they're put in there. They're never put. There's no punishment to them. Nobody as much as paddle them ever. You know, they go murder people and you're not allowed to hurt them, touch them, or do anything. Well, you tell me how you're going to rehabilitate somebody who commits crimes against other people and don't have to pay punishment for it. They say, oh, they're locked up in jail. What does that mean? They're locked up in jail. They don't even have to work if they don't want to in jail. We don't do nothing to them. That's why they come out the same. That's why we have 86, I think in the last turn I was 86.9% of the return. That's why they return. There's no punishment there. They know that. They say, I don't like to go, yet they go do the things that put them in. You know, I've seen the program. It don't work. It's worthless, and we need to, you know, I don't want my kids to end up into that. I don't want them to be in that kind of things. And because it sure don't turn out well, and their lives don't get any better. So, you know, we want to, in Proverbs 29 and verse 15 says, the rod and rebuke gives wisdom. Boy, do we consider that. The rod and rebuke gives wisdom. We're told today that's terrible. Oh, don't you do that to a child. Don't do it. Well, that's worked out well. It says, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Now, in verse 17 says, correct your son, he'll give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. So correct, that word correct means to discipline, and correction is necessary for moral training. So there's correction and discipline that we give. And the whole point of it is the purpose of moral training. The child must learn to know good and evil, what's good to do and what's not to do, what brings punishment, because they need to understand. God is going to deal with them on what's good or bad, and they're going to have punishment if they do bad, and they won't have blessing. But if they do good, they get blessing. That's how God operates. And to teach them something else, to teach them that you could do evil and still end up with blessing, that's false. That's the lie of grace today that's taught. You can do evil and you're under grace, so God's just going to take care of everything. That's not true. We teach children, and that's the purpose. It's one of the things as we found. I was always thankful the fact of, well, you know, that Wanda and I got born again when our children were still young. In fact, Elena was born after I got born again in March. Elena was born. Alyssa was small, but there was a lot of things that we had already, like with Alyssa, even as sinners, we had enough sense to know to make your child listen to you. It's important that we train our children in these manners and that stuff. It's not doing something bad for them. It's trying to keep them out of trouble, keeping them out of hurt, keeping them out of harm. There's so many kids that do things today. You know, it just amazes me anymore. We have all these young people dying. They go to places and cliffs and end up slipping and falling off of cliffs. They have no sense of danger that anything's going to happen to them in life. I mean, every week there's somebody somewhere is, you know, climbing somewhere and falls. And, you know, you just had a thing with a young girl, just fell over a cliff, a 100-foot cliff, and died. And there's every week it's something. But they have no fear of danger or things around. They don't, because they've been raised. You know, everything's going to be all right. It's going to be fine. You can just go out and do it, you know. Go out and do all this stuff and go around. And they don't even have any sense to protect themselves. No sense at all to look after themselves, you know. I mean, how close do you want to walk to the edge of the cliff to look over? I mean, it's just like, but see, there's no idea of safety. And as children, like I see people, they get their kids around thing and they just let them run loose. We were down at the shore and they're in the backwater and that little girl going out in the water and her parents are sitting up a piece behind us. This little girl about this big out in the water by herself. She's no swimmies on, nothing on. She's out there walking around and they're just... Then they go down there. So the father walks down and he's talking to her about coming out. He won't go in and get her. He's sitting there talking to him. I thought, this moron and idiot. Just complete idiots. But you know what? There's millions and hundreds of millions like him out here in this world. I see people all the time. Their kids are doing things wrong and they're standing there. Don't do that. Oh, come on. Now stop that. Now you shouldn't be. Now come on. Now listen. Walking down the beach, a woman's walking down the beach, she has a grandchild. Walking down the beach, the little kid decided he don't want to go along. She stops. Oh, come on now, come on, we got to get down through now, come on. This little kid, just ignoring her completely, has this idiot wrapped around her his little finger, doing whatever, and she's standing there trying to get out. I want to tell you what, if he was my kid, I would have walked up, took him, screaming and yelling, whatever he had done. I'd have carried him back, not in front of everybody. I'd have taken him up the car, I'd have whooped that sucker. he would have known. And after we got back to the hotel, I'd have whooped him again. Just to remind him, you don't ever do that again. You don't ever allow that to happen. You obey. That sounds hard. You better get it, because I'll tell you what, kids die today because of their parents. Things happen because of their parents. Their parents don't make them do anything. Next time he runs out in front of a car, you shouldn't do that. You want them to obey you quickly. If they don't obey you in those kinds of things, they don't obey you, don't worry, they'll get themselves in trouble and get hurt. And then you can get somebody to try to come and pray and try to make you feel better after they're dead. And that ain't going to work. Just deal with them. Don't let them get away with things like that. I'd have never stood and let one of my kids stand there and say, come on, now we got to go. And they ain't going to, this kid said, no. He's down there playing. And the grandma's there. Now, come on. Let's go down here. The first no would have been all I'd have needed. It would have ended right there. We're going. And you think that sounds hard, but I'm going to tell you what. The way kids are growing up today, I thank God I had a daddy that didn't put up with me when I was a kid. And I'm glad. I am so glad. He saved my life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So save your kids' lives. Now, we're going to talk here a little bit about, because we want to look, because really the Apostle Paul covers the all. He covers the family, then he covers, he comes over and deals with us when we go to work. Because in verse 5 of chapter 6, he says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters. Now, it's interesting, the term a bondservant, because a bondservant was a servant by choice. It's like we do with taking a job. Bondservants, many times, if you go over and look under the law, sometime if a person got in servitude to another, say they borrowed money, couldn't pay it back, well, they would make the person go and work for the person. So in a sense, would be sort of, you know, to work our thing off. Now, what they would do, and God said, if the servant, if he could go free, but he says he liked his master, the guy he worked for, he liked him, he said if he wanted to, he could become a bondservant to him, and the guy would take him on. Now, understand, they got paid. It wasn't like a slave. It wasn't somebody. The bondservants worked for their, and got, you know, they got paid and that stuff, and monetarily and stuff were taken care of. And so when he's talking bondservant, it's just the same. The guy would choose. In fact, they said the under the law, what they would do then is the guy just said he wanted to be the guy's servant. They would take him to the doorpost, and they would take a ewe and poke a hole in his ear and put an earring in his ear. That meant he was a bondservant, that this, he was working for this guy. So that's what he committed to do. Now understand, they would do these for the Jews, under the law, every 7 years would be everybody be released and given back. So in other words, however long this guy worked for the guy, he could actually go free. If he decided he didn't want to, he could still work for the guy if he wanted to, if he liked that. So really, this fits very much into what we are like on a job. We go to a place to work, and so it's telling us how our conduct concerning working. So it says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. So it's looking at employees and relationship. In other words, if we work for someone, I'm always thankful. You know, my dad said, you know, you go to work for somebody, and if you don't like it, don't stand around and complain and cause trouble. You leave. They didn't ask you to come. You go. In other words, you go get another job. Don't be a troublemaker on the job or yet if you don't like it. We have today, you know, we want so many people, they want to force their employers to do what they want. And, you know, that would come to an end so quickly if nobody would work for a guy. People, the whole thing is, they want, they're afraid. They're afraid, well, if I go, I can't get a job. So they stay and they complain and moan and try to get the guy to do anything. If everybody leaves them, well, they're going to have to turn the guy. You know, it's like people the problem and they don't see themselves as a problem. And I'm going to get somebody to make this person do what I want. Well, the Bible doesn't say that's the way we're supposed to do it. So the boss has authority over you from a standpoint of physical matters on the job, but you need to understand that he doesn't have authority over spiritual matters. He doesn't have that. You don't have to submit to his authority if he's dealing with things that are outside of your spiritual conscience of doing. you don't have to obey him in that. He's talking about the physical things on the job that you're doing. Now, the word there that's used as fear just means to be respect or honor. And they use the term here, trembling, but that idea is like using maximum exertion or effort. In other words, do it on the job. You know, you make your effort and that stuff. Get your job to working on your job and doing what you're supposed to be doing, carrying it out. And sincerity just means without flaws or weakness. Sincerity, actually that word came from a Greek word that dealt with pottery and had to do with flawed pottery. They would make flawed pottery. They would make pottery that looked good on the outside, but they would coat it with wax when it was fired. And the wax would go into the areas where there's cracks. Pottery would look beautiful, but if it was going to be used, it would be weak and that stuff. So when we deal with sincerity here, in other words, flawless or without weakness. And so when we go to work, we're supposed to, you know, be honest in our working, doing a good job. One of the things, and I learned from the Lord taught me when I was at Rhema about working on a job. And as I learned that, is what you do is you're doing it for the Lord. Is understand that. When you go to work, that really helped me a lot, because you can end up working for somebody and you're really frustrated with them. And one of the things that it is, it messes you up. It don't mess them up. You know, people do things and they think, well, they're causing trouble, but really the trouble comes to them. I work with people, like say when I was at Reese's, and there were certain people you had all the time and they were always having conflict all the time. There was something going on, something all the time. You know what? They were miserable people, and you didn't like to be around them. They're just all the time got something, got a problem. And I found lots of times you're better off just doing your job. You have less problem, even if you don't like it, than you do with all this fussing, because they were miserable all the time. And then some of them, after their years of retirement, I run into them, and they're still complaining, and they don't even work there no more. See, it's ruined their life. Their whole life is carried out in the same misery. And so I've told the story before, but it really is a good thing. When I was at Raymond School, and I worked in a supermarket where I was in the meat department, and my job, I mean, from the time that I got there till I left, I worked. And keeping up with what I had to do, the work that I had to do, they had two or three other people doing it on other shifts. And then he had these guys that were there that were working in some of the other counters in the meat department who were good friends with the boss. They hardly did a thing, and he'd give them raises, and he wouldn't give me a raise. And I was getting more and more frustrated over this, and he wouldn't give me a raise on the things. And I was doing, you know, probably more work than good three or four of the other guys were there. And but I was letting it get to me, and then one day the Lord said, "Why don't you work for me?" And I realized what he was saying. I wasn't really following the scriptures. My frustration and what was frustrating me, he wanted to get me in line with the word because he wanted to bless me. And so he wanted me to get off of what I was doing because what I wasn't following the word concerning working. I'm working for a boss that isn't a good boss. But this stuff gets clarified. Whether you're working for somebody, it's a good boss or a bad boss. The Bible tells you your conduct. Well, I'm walking around frustration and upset at this guy. And God wants to deal with why he wants to bless me. But he couldn't bless me by what I was doing. What I was doing couldn't bring blessing. Wasn't going to work. So what he wanted to do was bless me. So he said, "Why don't you go to work for me?" And when he said that, I mean, it just lit up to me. And this is what he said to me. He said, "I pay good and I'll take care of you." That's what he said. And I thought, yeah, God's always taking care of me. He's always been. I'm gonna let Him be. I'm gonna work as if He's overseeing me and what I'm doing. And so I didn't have stop with an expectation that what was going to happen was. I just knew He's telling me to get in the line with the Word, because this thing was driving me and it wasn't any good. I've never seen anybody get driven and have work complaining about work and that kind of stuff all the time. They always get driven by it. Never turns out good. It don't turn out well. It don't for them. Because it just goes down the line, you just stay miserable. And so the Lord saw that. He saw that what it was doing to me. And so I said, "Yeah, Lord." I said, "You're right." I said, "I'm going to start." And every day I started going to work, and I'd go, "Lord, I'm working for you today. You're my boss. I'm going to work good. I'm not going to be lazy. I'm not going to take extra breaks. I'm working for you. I'm going to do what the Word says." And so I started doing that. And it was just amazing. Within about a month's time, money started coming into us. money started coming in, and in fact, more money than I made working. Probably double what I was making working started coming in every month. And this money stayed steady coming in the whole time we were there. Kept coming in. Now, I'm not going to tell you that's going to exactly happen to you, but I'm going to tell you what, you'll get blessed if you follow what the Word says. So I started doing that. I literally got to the point where I would forget payday at work and I wouldn't pick my check up. Because we always had money. I didn't even think about paycheck. I didn't think about that. Money was always coming in. And I'd go to work and they'd have a note for me from the people that handled the pay. You didn't pick your check up. You need to pick your check up. So it was interesting. So I started picking my check up. And I just, you know, and God was blessing us. It was really good. And then one day the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to go give your boss a 2-week notice. And you tell him you're leaving. And he's going to ask you. He's going to try to get you to stay. He said, you tell him I told you to leave. And no matter what he offers, you're not taking it. You're leaving. Well, I went in. I gave him a 2-week notice. I went in and told him it was a 2-week notice. And he immediately started. And I just looked at him. I said, God spoke to me. Told me to leave. I don't care what you say or what you do or what you offer. 2 weeks, I'm gone. I knew it was going to happen. I knew he wasn't going to be able to get anybody to take my place. I knew it. So, in that 2-week time, they gave us a number of people to try to train on the job, and every one of them worked one night and left. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. Nobody would do it. So he took 2 people and put it on. No poo people would stay. They wouldn't stay. They wouldn't work and do it. And boy, right before supposedly a couple of days, he came crying. I said, don't talk to me about it. I said, I told you. I said, I will. I said, I don't care if you offer me $20 an hour. I said, God said to me, I'm supposed to go. I'm leaving. And I left and he got fired. So my boss lost his job. He deserved it. He was cheating the company the whole time. He was cheating. He had these guys sitting around not doing nothing and paying him. Had other people. He was just pushing like crazy. And he lost his job. But he did that to himself. Nobody did that to him. He did that to himself. But see, God knows. And this is one thing. You know, I always listen to what Kenneth Hagin used to say. He used to say, God doesn't pay every Friday. But when he does pay, it's good. And is learning to do what's right. And I just want to encourage you. As you work for somebody, is working this, is don't get into the things because, you know, stuff happens and you consider things unfair. Sometimes, you know, too, you're dealing with supervisors, but they don't have much choice in what they're doing. Their people over top of them are making them do certain things. So they have to carry out things. And as one thing is when we start getting in all the frustration with people, it never ends up well for you. God wants it to end up well for you. Is if anything he wants to do, he wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. That's God would never. He didn't tell me that day just because he wanted me to just get straightened out. He wanted to bless me, and I was on a road where he couldn't. He wanted to, but he couldn't. I had closed the door to it. He wanted to promote me, and I'm trying to get this guy to promote. He's trying to do something greater for me than what that guy could do. That guy didn't. He didn't have the ability to pay me what God would turn around and start bringing in for us. He didn't have the ability to do that. And so, thank God. So you want to follow. You want to follow and walk in line with these things. If we look here in continuing over in the 6th chapter, in verse 6, it says how we're supposed to work, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. He says doing the will of God. He's talking about doing the will of God on the job. Let's do the will of God. Let's follow what the Bible teaches. But he said, not with eye service. In other words, we're not working when the boss sees us. We're doing our jobs. Doing our jobs all the time. You know, we had that, you know, people just, when the boss was around, boy, they were just around doing everything and soon the boss would leave. No telling what they were doing. I worked at Reese's. We had people like that. There's some people, they were just good on their jobs and they did their jobs. There was other people you had to watch all the time. You had to watch because they would, as soon as somebody wasn't around and they didn't know, you know, they'd think you weren't seeing them. And, you know, we always knew who to watch. We always knew. So, well, they were dumb. So, he says, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Now, think about that. Now, we're working for a person. But see, this is what changed me on the job was the fact is when I was doing it for the Lord, that really changed it in me of what I was doing on my job. It really changed it because it made a change in my heart about working. And see, that's the big thing. It's a heart. Many people, you know, they're trying to find the satisfaction in their mind. Get your heart at peace. Get your heart working over it. He said, knowing that whatever, listen to this, whatever good anyone does, now listen, your boss may not notice it or anything. Listen what he says. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. He guarantees a result for you. He guarantees the result for you. If you do good, there's always pay that comes to you for that. There'll always be blessing if you do what's right. See, that's what he was getting me over to the things of knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. You do good, you're going to receive good from the Lord. That's what you're going to get. That's what you're going to get. And so this is what he's telling us to do. He said, it doesn't matter if you're a slave or a free person. It's the same. It doesn't work for one person and not for another. This is what I love about the Word of God. It works. God don't have favorites. If you do what's right, payday's come. You know, you set it yourself in motion. And, you know, that was one of the things is the Lord taught me a lot of things when I was at Reese Candy Company because I went from a non-Christian to, you know, just like everybody else, to a Christian. And God taught me there really how to be a good employee, how to be an employee there and that stuff, a person they would want to keep, a person that they would want around, somebody that does their job, somebody that's good at their job. And that's what they want. And he taught me those kinds of principles there. And so even after I left there, he had to still teach me some things and principles. But he put them in there, and the whole thing was for our blessing. That's what he was looking for. Get that in your mind. God is not doing things to try to punish. And lots of times what seems like hard to do, it's because if you'll do them, there is such good pay to get them. It's just like working on jobs. Places, Isaiah, where you would turn around and have a job, generally speaking, the jobs that required more out of you paid better. And if you were a job that required more out of you and they didn't pay you better, it was always hard to keep employees. They couldn't keep employees at them. And so finding out, getting jobs that are good. So underwear, God sees that. So God pays accordingly to that. So we want to fall in line with that. You know, the word there talks about, is used the term goodwill. Really, that deals with the area of loyal enthusiasm. And that's one thing is, I had really lost my enthusiasm about my job when I got over just really in this conflict with the boss. My enthusiasm for the job wasn't very good. And you know what? It affected me. He's over there smiling. He didn't care. You know, there's one thing is he counted on. See, I was honest, and he knew that. He knew that I was going to cheat and wasn't going to do my job. He knew it. So he was taking advantage of me because of knowing I would do my job. And but anyhow, God had a thing to figure out. So God's desire was to reward you just as a good, smart employer should be rewarding his people that are good. Look, you'll find people that don't do it. Because look, in verse 9 he says, and you masters, do the same thing to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven. Now he's talking about the Christian. You need to understand that. He's talking about the Christian master, what he needs to be doing. You know, you work for heathens. You know, it's not going to, you know, a guy's a Christian and he doesn't do right by these things with employees. It's going to cost him. It's going to cost him with God. God's going to see it if you don't do right. You know, it's like I found out it wasn't my job to deal with that boss. God was going to deal with him if I did what was right. And really God wanted to get me in line to bless, but also in the standpoint to judge him, to deal with him for what he was doing wrong. See, if, as a Christian, if I'm doing wrong, I can't expect God to deal with a God that's doing me wrong when I'm not walking right. See, I can't expect that. Christians today actually expect that. They expect that God, just because they're God's kids, they ought to be treated as a favorite while they do wrong. No, God's honest. He's just and He's righteous, and He does things righteous. So he says, give up further, knowing that your own master is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. See, look at that. You know, we think that, you know, somebody's in a higher position, and somehow they got, you know, a better spot. But God's saying here, no, they don't. Doing what's right, God sees and rewards accordingly. He will. You do what's right. To me, that's the wonderful thing, really wonderful thing about it. So playing favorites, if a boss pays favorites, it's going to cost him. It's going to cost him to do that. Down the line. I saw, like, I worked 13 and a half years at Reese's, and in there I saw many people come into management who were in management and also came into management, it was all favoritism stuff, didn't have anything to do with talent or good at their jobs, it's all favoritism, buzzies of all these people. Everybody thought it was all wonderful and good. These guys were sitting around. And it goes by for years. You know, it's funny because, you know, some people said, man, these guys get in and they really got it made. And it looked like, you know, these guys did have it made, because for years these guys are in their positions, and these men and women, and they ain't doing their jobs, and they're, you know, they're really taking the company across and everybody else across. But after I had left, a new manager came in, and all these people ended up gone. No jobs at all. I mean, we had people that were high positions were gone. People were taken out of jobs where they made maybe $150,000 a year, and they got a job making $35,000. We had big stuff changeover. See, eventually payday comes. Eventually it will. There's one thing you can't do. You can't take righteous people across and not have a payday from it. It's always going to happen. You can't take a person across who's doing what's right without it costing you. It'll always cost you. And that's why, you know, God just wanted to get me over in the area where He could bless me. And really, He dealt with that guy who was cheating me. He dealt with him. You know, I never asked God to deal with him. I never said to God anything about the man. When the Lord told me I was supposed to work for him, I just went and did that. I just did as I was working for the Lord. And but God's plan was to bless. And you just want to walk in the blessing of God. And that's, you know, we have from a scriptural standpoint, it tells us, it says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5, through 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought in captivity to the obedience of Christ. It's just learning to do that. I'm not telling anybody that's always the easiest thing to do. But see, when we start warring with people and we don't realize the battle that we have is like, I had this battle every day I went to work. It was in my mind. I wasn't taking my thoughts into obedience to Christ. But what God did for me, that's 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 3 through 5. See, what I wasn't doing, I wasn't taking my thoughts into the obedience of Christ. I wasn't doing that. My thoughts were dominating me. I'm unhappy. I'm miserable. What God's doing is really, this is where He did. He took me over. And when He got me in the right direction, I started controlling my thoughts. Before, what was running rampant, and really, you need to understand, that's the real battleground. See, all these people, all this spiritual warfare, real battle of devils and stuff. Lots of times, when you're coming down dealing with the devil, you need to understand what you're dealing with is your mind, is thoughts that come against you, and that's what the devil does. He brings thoughts against your mind. He wants you to get over. He wants you to start warring against other people. He wants you to get into that battleground and live over in that place. He wants you to bring and get as much strife going on in your mind as you can, as he can. That's what he wants to do. God wants you to bring your mind over to where it's at peace and it's rest. And because there's one thing about it, I could not, what was going on with me, I couldn't think clearly about what was going on at work till God dealt with me. And then I started thinking clearly about what's going on at work and what's happening. And so getting over that, that's one of the things that we as Christians need to get ourselves in line with, is what this is really the weapons of in dealing with the areas of a spiritual warfare. The warfare takes place in your mind. You know, Christ already defeated Satan. Satan will try to convince you that he's not defeated. He'll try to convince you that he can reign and rule over you. He's going to try to convince you. It's all the battle's going to be in your mind. If you let your mind go to the place to know and thinking, well, he can dominate me and he can rule me. You know, the Bible says, by his stripes you're healed. And he'll convince you, well, if you were really healed, you wouldn't feel any pain in your body. He'll try to convince you that you're not healed. He'll try to convince you the word's not true. In other words, he'll try to convince you to stop the blessing of God. He wants you to follow after his path. That's what he wants you to do. And so that's what really the final, we look at these things. We cast down these arguments. We should measure everything. And this is why, knowing the scriptures, measure everything against what the word of God says, and thoughts come. So see, I was dealing with my boss there. I wasn't dealing, measuring it against Scripture. What God did is he brought Scripture to me. The Lord brought Scripture to me to measure what was going on against Scripture. And so, thank God, I was smart enough to make the change and say, yeah, you know, God, you're right. I'm gonna follow what the Scripture says. I'm going to do what the Scripture says. And that's what we do, is measure against the Scriptures. That's what you want to do. The more you know the Word of God, the better you know the Word of God, the better you are against the arguments that come against stuff on the outside. You know, many people, too, is they only get the Word from the standpoint, from a psychological standpoint. You know, the Word got to become true and real to you. That it's true. So when the word does come, you know, that you'll say, yeah, well, the word says this, and this is what's going on. Hold it. I'm going to get my mind in line with this. Now, this looks bad, and this looks like, and sometimes it looks like, boy, if you did the word, that seems sort of stupid compared to what's going on over here and doing the word. You know, I'm sure that many people have thought it was dumb, me, you know, just, yeah, well, I'm going to work as Jesus is my boss, and well, you're still not going to get, you're going to get a raise, you've got to get, you know, from the natural. But I didn't think about it from that. I knew what the Lord spoke to me, and I knew exactly, because I knew scripturally, when he said, work for him, he says, why don't you work for me? And I thought, and the first thing that came to me is, oh, we're supposed to do everything we do, we're supposed to do in the name of the Lord. So we're supposed to, and I thought about it, I thought, yeah, I haven't been doing that. So all he's moving me is just moving me back over to in line with the word. And I saw the fact, you know, that, I was there complaining against my boss. Yet my boss, my real boss, I'm operating against him. I'm not doing what he said. And here I am complaining about this guy. And so, you know, I had to repent. I said, yeah, Lord. Yep, I've been off on this thing. But so the Lord didn't do that to punish me. He did that to bless me, to show me, come back over in line with the word, and come back into line with peace. And so that's what we want to do. We'll end there tonight with that, is really dealing with these things. I just, you know, in these areas we're doing, is like I said, dealing over with the husband and wife, is the big thing is not just sitting down and taking those things and, well, you know, I'm supposed to walk in love. This is not it's not some kind of legalism thing. You know, meditate on these things till they become real to you and part of your life, of what your activity, of how you live, where they become something that's inside of you real. Not following a legalistic rule is understanding we do these things because this is what God brings blessing. This is what we do to live in life. And, you know, and if we want to help the people that are against us and working against us, it sure ain't going to change nothing if we're just going to war along with them and follow the same path. It's not going to, you know. And I ain't going to say you're going to win them all. Jesus sure didn't win them all, did he? They crucified him. He didn't win them all. But number one, they had no excuse in the crucifixion. They had no excuse. They couldn't say he did anything. So their judgment against him was completely, had to be completely. I mean, just think about it. The religious leaders had to go to find, looking for liars. They were looking for liars. And you're going to find lots of times. I worked at Reese Candy Company where people, you know, got upset at me about things, and they would look for liars to try to get people to say things I was doing, things I wasn't doing. And got exonerated every time. And so this is why we just do these things right. We follow these things because these are the right things to do. And so, you know, meditate on these things, of getting these things in you, where you see these things are for your best. They're not just some legalistic rules that you're following. It comes down to, this is life. This is how I live and how I live my life. This is how God blesses me and what He does. It's just like, I know people that legalistically tithe. Don't hardly do a thing for them. They legalistically tithe. They don't do it out of love and just graciousness to do something. You know, faith worketh by love. It don't work by legalism. It don't buy, you know, money don't come to you because you give money. Money comes to you because your faith. And if you don't walk in love, your faith ain't going to work. And so all your giving goes down. You're throwing out there legalistic. This is why we do it. We don't do this stuff because, well, you know, if somebody's bad to me, something's going to happen to them. I don't want anything bad happening to people. Dear Lord. If anybody deserved bad to happen before I came to Christ, I sure deserved a lot of bad to happen. So, thank God. God was better to me. So, it is yourself. Meditate on these things and just learn. This is our conduct of life. This is how we live. You know, it's, we do a job, we do a good job. This is the way. This is just what we are. We do a good job. I tell you, there's nothing better. And understand, the Lord sees when you do a good job, no matter what they pay you, God's watching. There's one thing, we're stepping over an eternity. When you step across to eternity, it's payday. There's loads of people on this side have had huge on this side, will have nothing on that side. There's people on this side didn't seem like they had much, but they had honor and integrity. They're laying up for riches to come and the glory to come to. Most people, all they do is they think short term. Most Christians are all short term. They're thinking right about here and now. And they don't realize the surprise they're going to have stepping across. Because what they do is they do for them. They don't think about, they're just doing it for what I can get now and how things work now. It's not the way it is. They're not really interested in how it's going to turn out for other people. They don't even see it. You know, it's what I'm going to have, what works, makes me easy for me here, and what, you know, pays for me here and takes care. You don't want to do that because we're stepping into eternity. Our reward's eternal. It's not one day reward. It's eternal. For eternity, you're rewarded. I don't think that 99% of the Christians even have a clue what that even means. They have no revelation on it. They just think they're all going to get to heaven and everybody's just going to be the same and we're just going to be fat babies with, you know, with harp sitting around on a cloud somewhere or something. I don't know. I think some of them might be. Because they're big babies now. But just meditate on those things and learn and just get them into you. Don't let the devil get over. Don't let him steal your reward. Don't let him steal your peace of mind and your rest. Don't let him do that to you. You don't want to go there. There's nothing worse in life than walking around in torment of mind. Whatever goes on in your mind and just tormenting you and that stuff, it's real to you whether it's really happening or not. That's why you want to walk at peace. That's why you want to walk at rest. You don't want to get into all the strife. There's nothing that comes along without enabling it. So, praise God. Father, we just thank you. Your word's wonderful. It's really good. And we just thank you, Lord God. Lord, you don't tell us these things to criticize us. You desire us to bless us and teach us the truth. And I want to thank you for it. I thank you, Lord God, that you're just so gracious and kind to us to reveal these things of how we can live out in this life in the blessing that you've called us to walk in. And Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for teaching us these things so we can walk in rest. Hallelujah. In peace, Lord God. Father God, and enjoy times that we do have here. We know, Lord God, there's an enemy and he's doing things. But Lord God, I want to thank you for teaching us so we don't enable him to be able to do other things to us, Lord God. So we thank you for all that you're going to accomplish and do in us and through us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.